listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What's up? What up, Canes fans? It is the Forza Podcast. It is Monday, August 17th, and let me find my Google real quick. We are 24 days away from Canes football. Yep, 24 days. 24 days. Jordan Nelson, Mike, my producer and wonderful co-host. What's up, man? How are we feeling?
I'm so excited for football, man. Yeah. The Jazz played in the playoffs this morning, and it was horrible. Donovan Mitchell had 57 points, and we still got crushed because we started a guy named Juwan Morgan, who no one's ever heard of. So, it's football time, man.
I saw at the end of, the third quarter, or in the third quarter, the Jazz were up by four. What happened?
Well, they had been down pretty much the whole game, and then Mitchell just got red hot, so red hot. And then they pushed their way back. They ended up going to overtime. And, dude, the Nuggets outscored them 20-10 in overtime. So, yeah, it was bad. Essentially what that game was is Donovan Mitchell had an incredible game and the Jazz roster is just completely depleted. They don't have Mike Conley. They don't have Bojan Bogdanovic. They don't have, Ed Davis. They're playing Tony Bradley a whole bunch of minutes. And, if he's an NBA player, me and you should go to tryouts next year because I seriously think we're about as good as he is. And, we had to start Juwan Morgan. Who is that guy? He's starting in the NBA playoffs. And I don't even know what he looks like. And sorry, it's frustrating. But Canes football, though, 24 days away, man. That's why I'm so excited. It's a coping mechanism, but I have nothing else to be happy about in life today. So
did you watch the game or did you have to work?
Both. I took a long lunch.
We just had some thunder here and it shook the entire house. And if you know, if people out there, if you know me, thunder and lightning, that's one of my bugaboos. I don't do thunder and lightning. So I'm pissing in my pants right now because it was literally something out of War of the Worlds.
Have you ever seen Ted?
Oh, bro, my dad took me to see that opening day. We got one thunder, and Ted comes running in.
You need a thunder buddy, Marsh.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to get you for your birthday, is a thunder buddy.
Gosh, that's a funny movie.
Yeah,
Ted, I love it.
It's great too. I actually think I like the sequel better than the original.
I haven't seen the second one.
It's just as good, man. It's one of those sequels where I could see the angle that it's a little repetitive, so it's not as good, but I preferred it a little bit more than the original. So
yeah, I love Ted. I love Mark Wahlberg. Love Seth MacFarlane. And boy, do I love Mila Kunis.
Yeah, she's not in the sequel, which is one of the worst parts. Yeah, but everything else is good. There's some very, very good laughs in the sequel.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Okay, we got a ton of things to go over. First on the agenda is, all right, our Canes had their first scrimmage last night, and they're – were a lot of takeaways, a lot of positive things.
Yeah.
First thing is De'Aaron King.
Oh yeah.
15 for 26 and 4 touchdown passes.
Music to my ears, man. Okay, I love De'Aaron King.
Stats coming off right now. De'Aaron King 4 touchdown passes. And you know where I'm going next. Everyone knows where I'm going next. My boy Jalen Knighton.
Yep. The rooster.
The rooster! I don't know if that's the sound a rooster makes, but I don't know what a rooster makes, but 10 carries, 126 yards and a touchdown. And Don Chaney, 57 yards and a touchdown. Whew. Love it. Yeah, Xavier Estrepo, our boy X, had a 70-yard touchdown run off a reverse. D-Wiggs, big 41-yard catch. Mike Harley caught two touchdowns. Jeremiah Payton caught a touchdown. Chance Williams, the freshman defensive end, two sacks. Yeah. I don't know. How are you? Oh, and Will Mallory, four catches, and I believe for 71 yards. So,
tell me
how you feeling.
From an offensive perspective, you can't do anything but smile ear to ear hearing that stuff. And Nicosi Perry also had a great game too.
Yeah,
he was like 10 of 14 for over 100 and a touchdown or something like that.
Yeah, 8 for 13 for 140 yards and a touchdown. So yeah. And Jose Borregales, we love the Borregales family, yep. Mr. Tattoos with Star Wars, yep. six on extra points, and he hit a 49-yard field goal.
Yeah.
He looks good.
Dude, everything sounds good. I'm a little bit worried about the sheer numbers that our defense gave up. But, you know, nothing to complain about on offense.
Yeah.
So, no, absolutely. You know, word on the street is that the offensive line was ripping some huge holes open into the defense. So, in terms of, you know, running lanes for our young freshman running backs. So there's not a lot to complain about there, man. I we complained last off season that the defense was manhandling the offense, and I just don't want this to turn into that again, right? Because that ultimately became our reality, was that our defense was good and our offense was horrible. Do you get where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know. It's just good to see some actual stats and know that the offense is actually producing against what we expect to be a pretty good defense. Gervin Hall led the team in tackles last night. I believe he had 7 tackles. Corey Flagg, freshman linebacker, had a sack and 4 tackles. He's a freshman out of Texas. Love that guy. And then Sam Brooks, 5 tackles and a sack. So,
yeah,
that's good. That's good.
That's good. Lots and of good news.
Also, another note at the linebacker is that Bradley Jennings and Wayman Steed both played very well. So that's good. I love to hear it. Love to see that, because obviously linebacker is a questionable position, but you know, we got guys stepping up. I know that Cam Harris did not participate. He was mourning the loss of a high school coach, and then Brevin Jordan also did not play. He's still working back from an injury. But yeah. Other than that, man, I really, really like what I saw. We talked to Brevin the other night, the media did, and oh man, I think that was the night that we recorded our last podcast, and boy, he had me ready to run through a wall.
I love it, dude. So can I say just one takeaway about the De'Aaron King stat line? I am much happier with a 4 passing touchdown line than a 1 passing touchdown, 3 rushing touchdown line. And that's because I'm very, very confident in his legs already. Mm-hmm. So to see that he was, you know, he was cutting up our defense with his arm, that makes me very happy.
100%. 100%. And so the next little piece of nugget is that our boy, Jake Garcia, he's trending a little bit.
There's a lot of smoke, man.
There's a lot of smoke. And so the other day, I believe it was Saturday, a USF writer on 247, kind of weird, updated Garcia's flip status or flip possibility. Yep. Was it like an 8?
Yes, it was an 8. Yeah, and so
to Miami. So like,
yeah. And he's the guy. So he explained on the 247 message board. His explanation was that his source is the same person that originally said that Garcia would transfer to Valdosta, Georgia, and that came so far out of left field.
Yeah.
That you would have to think that this source at least has some legitimacy.
Well, and also, a lot of people...
in the world is like, oh, this kid from L.A., he's moving across the country to play for a random city in Georgia high school football. You know, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I know Garcia has family in Atlanta. And then a lot of people are saying, they're like, because I was talking on Saturday, because I had some plans Saturday night, and this happened, like, right before. And so, like, I'm walking around. I think I'm going to have a heart attack. Like, I was literally trying to stay so calm. And because we've been waiting just for something, like just like some piece of info. And this was enough to like set off the hashtag again. I have said I've retired from hashtags, but I will not lie. I'm tempted. I'm tempted to get back going. And you know what I love the most is that our commits in the 2021 class are all for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Was that Romello Brinson that was tweeting at Jake Garcia quite a bit today?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, we've had Khalil Brantley in the past. You know, James Williams got in on it. He wanted people to repost the picture of him and Jake. So there is a lot of smoke, and smoke does not always mean fire, but a lot of times it does.
So this was Romello Brinson's tweet earlier today. He says, I see Garcia wasn't scared to leave his hometown, so come sit in the pocket with one of the best O-lines and throw some dots to me, Jacoby George, Breshard Smith, and Khalil Brantley, while the best defense in the nation do what they do. Just a little summary, not the whole book, at Jake Garcia. And if you look at Jake Garcia's Twitter, I'm not one to check people's Twitters and, you know, see – what their recent likes are, everything like that. But you go to what Garcia's been liking lately, and it's all Canes.
It is.
It is all Canes.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, I definitely don't have an inside source on this. Like, I am in the dark as much as everyone else. People love to, you know, say that we claim to be fake insiders, whatever. I'm not claiming to be an insider. I think that there's some legs to this, and that is, you know, it just, there's just too much, right? I think it'll happen. I'm hoping it happens because I'm a fan. I'm a fanatic, yeah. Marsh.
I live for this shit, man. I live for it, man. It's my thing.
Exactly.
I was talking about it earlier that, bro, I just feel that Jake wants to be down here. Like, I just – I got that feeling that all these Miami kids, they love him. And just the way – and I was talking to someone who is close to the situation. We were talking the other day. And apparently, like, Tennessee is trying to trying pretty hard to flip him too. And we were just talking. I'm like, bro, like, look at Tennessee's situation. Like, does Jake have that kind of relationship with any of the Tennessee commits or any of the Tennessee fans? Or, I mean, like, the answer is hell no. Like, look at, like, just the love for Jake on this Canes social media. Like, he comes to Miami, and that dude is the prince of South Florida. He is the prince.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, like, he will get love from day one.
Like, yeah, exactly. He's thinking this, and, like, we got Lashley. We got all these receivers. Like, how could you not? And they love him. They love him. And, like, how could you not want to come down here and be that final piece to this puzzle?
I'm with you, man. And you know, so his high school coach now is Rush Probst, I think is how you say it. And I know he's close with the dude at Tennessee. So we should be on the lookout for them. But I agree with what you're saying. And, you know, we do have one of the so our line might not be great this next season, but the young guys, the guys coming in, the guys already on campus, we are very deep and very, very talented with our underclassmen on the offensive line. So we should have a very, very good offensive line in 3 years.
Or even just, like, look at next year, like 2020, you got Gaynor, you got Scaife, both hopefully coming back. Jared Williams is going to be gone. Donaldson is going to be back. And then, just like you said, we got those young guys. Jalen Rivers is probably going to be a redshirt freshman by that time. Like, yeah. We're building a line, and the rest of the pieces are falling into place. Like, we're going to have one of the best running back rooms in the country in a year or two. And yeah. All of these true freshman receivers right now, and, like, you can even put Jeremiah Payton into that category because he's a redshirt freshman. And then you add in the three receivers that we have committed, and then Brantley and Arroyo at tight end, and James Williams and Leonard Taylor on defense. You're telling me you don't want to come down here and be that final piece?
Yep. I'm with you, man.
Be a prince.
He needs to. And you know, if he doesn't, we'll be okay because we have Tyler Van Dyke. I definitely want to still get a quarterback. And Garcia, I just love his tape. I don't think there's many quarterbacks out there that are better than him, you know, including the kids that are already committed elsewhere. So, yeah. Dude, I would just love to get him. And he seems like a cool guy. He seems like a natural fit at Miami. He just looks
like Miami.
It would be a shame if he didn't. It would just make too much sense for him to come to Miami. And if he doesn't, then, you know,
I will not root. Like, I will root for him. Like, USC will become my second team just because I really, really like Jake, and I think we all do. And
yeah,
just a great kid. And you, those are the kind of guys that you just want to root for. You want them to succeed. And so we'll see what happens. But the rest of the time on today's episode, we have the final five games of 2020 that we have to predict. Last week, we went through the first six games of 2020. And right now, Jordan, you and I both have the Canes at 5-1. Heading into a Friday night game on November 6th against the NC State Wolfpack. When was the last time we played NC State? I think it was Kaya's senior year, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, NC State's a team that we don't usually play, even though they're in our same conference. And, I mean, I know that they were not very good last year. I believe they went 4-8. And they're just a team that they're kind of like a Pitt. Like, you know that they're in the conference, but they've never really done anything besides, like, Phillip Rivers, you know, those years. And so
yeah.
I know they have a really good running back, Zonovan Knight. You know, they got good tight ends, I was doing the research for this. Come on, Marshall, get your shit together. Kerry Angeline. I believe his name is at tight end. And then you got Amika Amezi at wide receiver. So they got some players, but I don't know. Like, NC State, the more that I research this game, the more I believe that Miami has the potential to comfortably win.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. And actually, fun trivia question for you, Marsh. So last year, on opening day, there was three NFL quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, that played at NC State. You just named one of them. Can you name the other two? Opening day of last season. Because one of them won't be starting.
Russell Wilson.
Correct.
Even though I always think of Wisconsin for him. But yeah. Who would the third person be? I'm trying to think of all the teams in the NFL.
I'll give you a hint. He won't be starting day one because another player that went to NC State is starting over him now.
Huh. Don't tell me yet. All right, I give up.
it's Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, there's no way in hell I would have gotten that. He went to NC State?
Yeah, I think he originally went to Florida, and then he transferred to NC State. But he's actually from South Florida, from the Muck. I mean,
everyone is from South Florida.
That's right.
I swear, bro. I swear everybody is from South Florida, or at least has, like, ties to South Florida. Jacoby Brissett. Huh.
Yes, sir. He's going to be backing up Philip Rivers now. So
Philip Rivers, the man. Didn't the Colts pay him like an absurd amount of money?
Yeah, and dude, he's not even good. His like, I think I can throw it farther than he can now. He has a wet noodle for an arm at this point because he's 62 years old.
I always liked Philip Rivers. Like, I think he's a gamer.
Yeah,
I remember one year that it was like his third or fourth year in the NFL, and they went to New England. It was 07, and the Chargers went to New England for the AFC Championship game. And remember, this is when the Patriots were 17-0, everything like that. And LaDainian Tomlinson did not play because of an injury. And there's a really famous picture of LT in full gear on the sideline in like one of those big like coats that football players wear, jerseys, like on the sideline in the cold. And Philip Rivers, I believe, was played that game on a torn ACL.
Yep.
And so since that game, like, I've always just been a fan of Philip Rivers. The man talks his trash and goes out and performs. He may not be a Super Bowl champion, but yep. I've always respected him. He's a gamer.
For sure. For sure. And no disrespect meant to him. But based on my fantasy football roster, I watched a lot of Chargers football last year. And time and time again, he does not have any throwing power. He is not accurate anymore. And the Colts have just made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be wrong in a few months. You know, maybe he'll prove me wrong. But he was not a good quarterback last season, so I don't get it. But anyway, yeah. Sorry. Back to NC State.
So I know that Dave Doran, I believe that's his name, he's been the coach there for like 8 years, and a lot of people are thinking that. I mean, last year they were 4-2 to start out, and then lost their final six games. I know that their defense isn't one of the strong points, and I know that they have a young quarterback, but I'm looking right now that they're set. One of these websites has them picked to win about like the win totals at 6.5 games. And so this is going to be a tough one because November, Friday night. I didn't even know it was a Friday night game, but I'm just looking at it right now. If we can go on the road and get to 6-1, ooh, I'll be feeling good. I'll be feeling good.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to go 27-17 here for the Canes.
27-17. That's not a bad prediction. I like that prediction.
Yeah.
Let me think about this. I'm gonna go 31-17.
Okay.
Canes.
Well, fine.
I think NC State has a lot of problems on defense. And I don't think their offense is that dangerous, especially with the young quarterback. But you never know what can happen in these Friday night games, especially in November, if it's a little chilly up there in Raleigh, North Carolina. But I'm going 31-17 Canes, man.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a bad prediction. I think that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. You know, it's you know, I noticed on the first half I was a little, you know, I was a little generous on offense. I think I have us averaging like 34 points a game at this spot right now. So, you know, I just want to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think we were both a little generous.
Yeah.
But, okay, 6-1, and then the next Saturday, oh, God, at Lane Stadium in old Blacksburg, Virginia, taking on the Hokies of Virginia Tech.
I hate Virginia Tech so badly.
Yeah. I really do hate them.
And you know what? I hate what I'm going to do on this game, too.
I know. I know. I'm already. Justin Fuente going into his fifth year at VaTech. Last year, of course, was a crazy, crazy game against those guys. Flew down for that one. We all went into that game thinking we were gonna run the doors off of Virginia Tech, and they came out Jaren struggled early, got injured, and we were down 28-0, I believe, in the first quarter. But then Nkosi Perry led us on one of the most wild comebacks I've ever seen, but it fell short. Lost 42-35, which is one of the highest scoring games in Miami Vautech history, I'm sure. Because when these two teams get together, I feel like it's just butting heads and there's a lot of defense. But Bud Foster is not there anymore.
I feel like it rains every time we play them too. Like most of my memories of these games is lots of water and me crying in disappointment after. Maybe yeah. That's why I feel like it's always raining, is because I'm always crying after.
I hate Virginia Tech. I've hated them ever since I started watching this team. Because I remember one of the first games watching as a Canes fan was in 03. We are number two in the country, undefeated. We haven't lost a regular season game since like 2000. And we go up to Blacksburg. I remember that they were like that crowd was ready and they freaking took it to us. D'Angelo Hall ran back defensive touchdown. I will say this. When they play Enter Sandman before their for their entrance, I think that's one of the coolest traditions in college football. And I have a lot of Canes fans talk crap on that, but man, it gives me goosey. Cool.
Yeah, and remind me, so wasn't that the year that towards the end of the season it was us and USC and Auburn, and it was the Tommy Tuberville Auburn team with Carnell Williams, Cadillac Williams, and Ronnie Brown? Wasn't it that year?
So I think so Auburn went undefeated the next year.
Okay.
Maybe I think no USC was involved in that. And the Canes, we were in the national championship hunt in November going into that game, undefeated, number two, and we lost that game. Next week we lost at home to Tennessee, and so everything fell apart. But these are Miami Virginia Tech, it's not as big as it used to be. Because I mean, in 02, that's when McGahee had the 6 rushing touchdowns. 03 was a really big game. 04 decided the ACC championship. 05, I remember one of my favorite games ever when we went up there. We were number 5, they were number 3, and they were undefeated with Marcus Fick, and we just beat their ass.
Yeah.
And so Miami Virginia Tech used to be a big game, even in 2017. Like when we first came out with the black uniforms, it was a big November game. It was the week before Virginia Tech. And I just remember Jaquan Johnson's one-handed interception, man. And Travis Homer going off.
Yep. Yeah, it was a good time. I miss it. I'm just sad.
Mm-hmm.
Never been more sad in my life than thinking about college football.
But Miami Vautech, it's one of those games that it is a rivalry. Like we've talked about this at length on the show. You and I, we hate Virginia Tech. And I think that's how all Miami fans should feel. Like they are, without a doubt, if you look at the impact of this game every single year and just the history of these two teams in the last 20 years, absolutely one of our biggest rivals.
I think it would be hard to make an argument that they aren't our second most important rival since we've joined the ACC.
Since the year 2000.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because I think they were in the Big East with us, weren't they?
They were.
So I'll agree with you there. So in this millennium, since the year 2000, they are our second most important rivalry.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
Yeah,
I think that's 100% fair. And so looking at Virginia Tech, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you go ahead. I was just going to segue in back to the prediction.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just looking at some of their guys. They got Hendon Hooker at quarterback again. He's a big dude. He's 6'4", but he's 230, but he's athletic. And last year, his stats weren't nuts. He threw for 13 touchdowns, just 2 picks though. And I know they got a duo at running back. They got Khalil Herbert and also Raheem Blackshear. And so they got talent at the running back, and they got good offensive linemen. They got Christian Darrisaw, and also I don't know how to pronounce his name, Lekidus Smith or something like that. But they got talent on the offense, which is not something you say a lot for Virginia Tech because you usually think of them as a defensive team. But like I said, Bud Foster isn't there anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. So, I mean, tell me why we're going to lose, though. Because we are.
Yeah.
I think we're going to lose.
They also, I can't, what's the corner, their top cornerback, probably their best player on the team, he opted out for this season.
Yeah.
I got to Google it really quickly. But that's a huge, huge blow to them. Caleb Farley. Yeah, he's opting out the season. So, and he's one of the top NFL draft prospects going into this 2021 draft. So that, at least that's good. But they got a few good defensive players. Rashard Ashby at linebacker. I believe he had like 120 tackles last year, which is pretty darn good. He also had 5 sacks, and so all right, you ready for prediction time?
Yeah.
All right, you go first.
Okay, I'm going to go 34-28 Virginia Tech.
Oh boy. Oh god. So why do you think we're going to lose?
We always lose a game like this, man. I mean, we just have to pick one, right? And why not on the road at Virginia Tech?
Yeah, dude, Lane Stadium scares the piss out of me.
Yeah.
Even if there's probably going to be no fans there, I'm still horrified of that place.
Yep.
It's like Mordor.
In Lord of the Rings. We just, for whatever reason, man, I just feel like it's either this game or it's either this game or the North Carolina game, and I'm taking this one because it's on the road. We're gonna lose this game.
Okay, I'm going 23-17 Virginia Tech.
Okay.
I'm just, yeah, I am, and hopefully the players, because I know people listen to this podcast. I hope this motivates our players.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a defensive struggle at first, just like it always is at Miami, Virginia Tech. And then maybe some turnovers in the fourth quarter that loses us this game. And, you know, we're not able to get the ball back. So
wait, did you say the players listen to this?
Yeah.
Well, I need to be nicer about some guys then.
Well, they understand that. They understand that it's not all sunshines and rainbows. We have to, you know, spit straight facts sometimes. Like, we can't lie on this show.
That's good. Yeah. And, you know, like, there's no players on this squad that I don't like. You know, there's no guys that I have disrespect for. There are a few dudes that I really would like to see them perform better. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But anyways.
But I know, I know some of the players and even some of the coaches listen to this. And so, cool. We love you guys. Know that I love you guys more than anything. But Virginia Tech, I've said this ever since the schedule came out that I predicted that we were going to lose. And so, I think Hooker makes a few big plays at the end to seal it up. And 6-2. We're 6-2 and moving on. And so the next week we got Georgia Tech, November 21st. And from what on right here, it says Georgia Tech's at home, but that can't be right.
So on ESPN, it says that we are at home, but I don't know who would be right. Because I'm on ESPN right now, and it says that it's a home game in Miami versus Georgia Tech.
On MiamiHurricanes.com it says we're at home, which is weird because we were at home last year. I mean, I'll take it because I feel like we never win when we go to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Georgia Tech is another team that I hate. I hate them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so happy that Paul Johnson's gone, though, just because I hate playing against triple option teams. I will say, though, for all of the hate that we gave Mark D'Onofrio, the one offense that his team could stop was Georgia Tech.
Yeah. I remember one year, it was 08, and we had just gotten back into the top 25, and, you know, we're looking to compete for the ACC Coastal. We controlled our own destiny, and we went up there, and they rushed the ball for, I swear, 500 yards.
Oh, I mean, they probably did. They probably had 508 total yards.
Told the story of covering that game, and he said he was just so angry watching that, just because we couldn't stop anybody. Anybody. They ran the ball. That stupid ass triple option was just nuts. But looking ahead to 2020, they got Jeff Collins. Everybody knows what happened last year. It was a frustrating loss for me. FIU, the FIU loss didn't even compare to the Georgia Tech loss, because Georgia Tech had lost to the Citadel before they played us last year. We were at home. We had just beaten Virginia. We were feeling good about ourselves. That's a game that DJ Ivy kind of fell asleep on the fake punt. Yeah. And we missed about 3 field goals inside of 30 yards to win the game at the end of regulation. It couldn't have been more than an extra point. And we missed, and then in overtime, Tech scored first, and Brevin Jordan on fourth down caught a pass. He made the first down, but they ruled him short, and we lost 28-21. Yeah.
I'm feeling super depressed about the season right now. Are you feeling depressed about the season, or is it just me?
No, I'm not feeling depressed. It makes me feel depressed thinking about last year, and especially this game. Yeah. Because I remember I was in Salt Lake, and we lost that game. And then I had to go to the Utah game later that day, and it was cold, it was raining, and I was still so upset about the Canes that I just left at halftime.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'm just worried that we're not actually going to be good, because, like, here I am, you know, going to predict us a really good season, and been there, done that, you know.
Dude, shut up.
if I were to, like, keep track of my official predictions for every season, we'd have, like, I don't know, we'd be averaging like 10-2 over in the last 10 years.
Yeah. But Georgia Tech, looking at their roster and some of the players, I know they got James Graham, sophomore quarterback. A lot of people are expecting big things from him, or maybe that they're expecting big things from him. But I know that they don't have a pure quarterback for the future at this point. Jordan Mason, he's a good running back. 899 yards last year. They got some good offensive linemen, got a good receiver in Marion Brown. On defense, David Curry at linebacker is a beast. He is a big, big boy, and he just flies around the football field. And also at wide receiver, I wonder if we are going to see our former Hurricane, Marquise. Help me out. Marquise Ezard.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a revenge game for him. So.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's at home makes me feel a little bit better, because originally it was supposed to be in Atlanta. I'm not sure why it changed. I didn't even notice that. Was it always at Miami? Because I'm pretty sure the original schedule had us going to Atlanta, which makes sense because last year was in Miami too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I bet they changed it when we had to realign the schedule.
I'm not going to argue with it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I will take that 100%. Looking at this team, the Georgia Tech team, they're not – I don't want to say they're not very good, but they're just a team that they don't jump out at you. They're not going to be one of the teams that you look and say, oh boy, that's going to be a tough one. But Georgia yeah. Tech is also a team, just like North Carolina, that we always struggle against for some reason. I don't know why, but Georgia Tech, ever since 2005, when we lost 14-10 in the Orange Bowl, we were number 3 in the country. Georgia Tech has always just scared the hell out of me.
Yeah. I actually feel pretty confident about this one. I don't know why. It's just a feeling.
Yeah, I do too. And just looking at what, you know, their beat writers are saying, their O-line is going to be a struggle. Their offense just isn't very good. They scored 14 points or fewer 6 times last year.
Yeah.
Never scored more than 28 points in a game.
Yeah.
And speaking from, you know, like, I mean, because we as Miami fans know how frustrating it is to not have an offense, and it looks like Georgia Tech is in that same boat.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, they were installing a new system, so maybe they'll be a little better, but I agree. You know, it's more than a one-year thing to change from triple option to spread.
Yeah, 100%. So let's go. It's prediction time. What are you thinking?
Okay, I'm going to go let's go 34-13.
Okay. Whoa. Okay. I think Georgia Tech scores 13 as well. I'm saying Miami comes out pissed off because of last year and we just blow the doors off of them. I'm predicting 38-13.
Okay. Nice.
Like I really don't think it's going to be a close game. And which is crazy because I always say, watch out for Georgia Tech, things like that.
Yeah.
But I think we come out there and we win we win handily.
Yeah.
So 38-13. And what'd you say? 34-13?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll take it, man. I'll take it. 7-2. I will gladly take 7-2.
We are ranked 18th at this point. I'm just going to say.
Bro, I would – oh, I'd be so happy.
Yeah.
I'd be so happy. Okay, we're 7-2 and going into our final road game of the regular season, November 28th at Wake Forest, the Demon Deacons.
I need a buzzer for right now because this is a trap game. I need a trap game alarm.
I don't even think this is like a – yeah, I guess it's a trap game. Because it's Wake Forest in November on the road. It just – It sounds scary.
Yeah, and you know, they're not bad. They're not good. Like we should definitely beat them, but they aren't bad. And like you said, you know, colder weather than Miami, late November, on the road, and you know, like we're going to be in pole position. I mean, so if this scenario is true, we're 7-2 right now. I guarantee you that NC and Virginia Tech and Notre Dame are either, you know, we're going to be right in the thick of that, trying to get into the spot with Clemson as the, you know, for the conference championship game. So These are the type of games where your mental fortitude is tested. You know, we're going to an unfamiliar climate. We're playing on the road, you know, a talented team. We need to maintain focus. I mean, we got a huge game the following week. So if we overlook Wake, then we're just completely screwed.
Well, and I don't think that there is any reason to overlook them either. Head coach Dave Clawson at Wake Forest. I mean, they've had four straight. And that's more than Miami has. And so, but yeah. Last year they went 8-5, but that was, I mean, they had, what was the quarterback's name? Jamie Newman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're not a bad program. They quietly win 6-8 games a year. Mm-hmm. And
I just feel like with North Carolina the following week, you know, and if we're in the thick of a conference title race trying to get that second spot, I just feel like you could overlook this one, man. I feel like you could be a little busy watching a film on Sam Howell instead of on what's his name, Sam Hartman or something.
Yeah. Sam Hartman is going to be the quarterback, it looks like, for the Demon Deacons. Not a bad talent. I know a lot of people in Winston-Salem are excited about that guy. They also have receiver Sage Surratt, Kenneth Walker at running back, and then at D end, they got a kid named Carlos Basham at line or at the end. He's not bad. He was I think he was all ACC junior. Yeah, he was an all ACC selection last year, and they got good linebackers. And so me and Gabby Urrutia were talking months ago that this could be this is a scary game.
Agreed.
And I don't and I have no I don't like I have no problem saying that. This is a game that really, really scares me. And honestly, right now, at this very second, I'm trying to decide if I'm predicting a loss or not.
Okay. So I'm not going to predict a loss. However, I want to put the team on notice that this is a trap game and a half. And if you're not focused, it will be a loss.
Yeah.
I'm believing in our guys. You know, I'll say it. This is a game that we could easily lose, but I'm believing in our coaching. I'm believing in the leadership of guys like De'Aaron King and Jalen Phillips. And Mike Harley. And I think that we pull this one out. And I think we grind out a tough win. Let's go 31-28. You know, actually, this is a great time. I am going to put this game, I'm going to say that our guy, Jose Borregales, hits a game-winning field goal in this one. 31-28, thanks to our guy, my fellow Star Wars nerd, Jose Borregales. So.
All right, Marsh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, God. All right, I'm ready. Okay. 28-24 Wake Forest.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Oh, God. It just came out.
You lost like 300 followers on Twitter, Marsh.
It just came out, man. I'm going 28-24 Wake Forest. I predicted three losses in the season. I said that we're going 8-3 with this new schedule, and I'm sticking by it. And okay. Wake Forest was one of those teams that I could see us losing to. And at this moment, right now, at 8:22 p.m., it feels like a loss.
Okay. Well, if going with that line of thinking, you probably just eliminated us from the ACC championship game.
Well, I didn't, and I've been telling people this. I don't. Especially with Notre Dame, who, I mean, they're supposed to be good every year, but I think Notre Dame has a really good squad this year. Yeah. I'm telling people that if we make it to Charlotte, then, I will be dancing in the streets. Dancing. Yeah. Like doing the Soldier Boy, doing the two-step.
Yeah.
I will be dancing my ass in the streets, but I don't know what it is. This Wake Forest team, they're scary. They're scary. Yeah. I don't even know what a Demon Deacon is. They've always just been a little frightening to me. And they have an underrated program over there. I think a lot of people don't realize that they've had four straight winning seasons. Just because I feel like whenever they're on national TV, it's against Clemson. And the last 2 years, Clemson has beaten them each time like 58-0.
Yeah.
And but who would have like that to
Clemson? Yeah. Yeah, they're beating everyone 58-0. So
yeah. Okay, so you have the Canes at 8-2 right now. This is the first game that we've disagreed on.
Yep.
And we don't disagree on much.
No.
But you have them at 8-2. I got 7-3 heading in to our final regular season game of the 2020 season at home. And we've talked about this game a lot on this podcast. Final regular season game, senior day, December 5th, UNC at Hard Rock. Okay.
Well, here's the deal, man. So UNC is coming down to Hard Rock. I'm going to Do you know how cold it is in December in North Carolina? I need to Google that.
It's chilly. It gets chilly.
So
like, it's cold, but
yeah.
If we were gonna in December, I would predict a loss.
Yeah. So I mean, it's 50 degrees on average. That's what Google's telling me in Chapel Hill. So they're gonna come down into some high 80s, low 90s weather. And we are going to hit 100 plays in this game on purpose because Rhett Lashley is going to – he's going to gas these dudes, and that's how we're going to win. Is yeah. We are going to play fast and violent and aggressive on offense.
Ooh, and, that gave me chills.
Yeah, and we are going to score in the 40s, and Sam Howell is still going to have a decent game. But, you know, Jalen Phillips is gonna rattle him a few times. And, you know, I'm going to say that we're going to win 48-31 okay. and finish 9-2.
Okay. Give me a few minutes before prediction time. Okay. Because we got to talk about this team. Obviously, Mac Brown is doing a great job over yeah. there. I think he's about 114 years old, but, I mean, he's recruiting his ass off. They went 7-6 last year. And everyone knows what happened last year against UNC. It was. Yeah. It was a killer. It broke my heart. We got off to a really, really slow start. Sam Howell, they connected on a long touchdown pass, and we fell behind like 10-0 early. Somehow, some way, we clawed our way back. Will Mallory catches the touchdown late in the game to take the lead late in the fourth quarter, and then 4th and 17.
Yeah.
4th and 17.
We got gouged by a high school quarterback, man.
Yeah, and they score 28-25. We drive the field. There was a play on that final drive where Jaron had D. Wiggins, and it looked like P.I., but if Wiggins is a step ahead of that, it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
And we drive down the field a little bit more, and Bubba Baxa misses a field goal. When he lined up to take that field, it was like a 49, 50-yard field goal, and he had already missed like two kicks heading into that final one, and I didn't even watch it. I ran into the other room. I'm like, and I told my brother, I'm like, bro, I can't do it. Just let me know what happens. And he walks in about 30 seconds later. He goes like, I'm sorry, brother.
Yeah.
It was awful.
What was your confidence level going into that kick?
Zero. Going into that game, I didn't think we were going to win. All that whole offseason heading into it, I predicted that game as a loss. Yeah. And everyone was like, bro, what are you talking about? Like, Sam Howell, like, we're going to kill him. And I told everyone that, and there's, I am on record saying this. I'm like, just watch, we're going to lose. Yeah. In the offseason, I said, guys, like, if we're 0-2 to start this year, don't be surprised. And everyone goes like, oh, you negative piece of shit. And I'm like, just wait.
Yeah.
And after the game, I tweeted out, I said something like, you going to listen to me now?
Yeah.
And I got torn to pieces.
Yeah.
People were not happy.
Well, tell us why we're going to win this time, though. Because I know you're coming with a W right here.
I am. Let me say this first. I really like Sam Howell. And I know that you are – I mean, you're skeptical about him, but I really, really like Sam Howell. I think he's just a really good quarterback, and I think a lot of people overlooked last year just because he's in the same conference as Trevor Lawrence, things like that. And his team, they only won about 7 games, but Sam Howell had a hell of a freshman season as a true freshman. And they got good receivers, Daz Newsome, I think his name is Dwame Brown, and then Javonte Williams and Michael Carter, running back. At linebacker, Chaz Surratt, who is a former quarterback, is killing it at linebacker. Yeah, he was one of the best players, one of the best defensive players in all of the ACC, 115 tackles and 6.5 sacks. He is a really good linebacker, and they got 3 really good linebackers. They got him, Toman Fox, and Jeremiah Gamel. They got – I mean, there's a reason why UNC is going into this year with a ton of hype.
Yeah. They did lose three defensive backs that opted out.
Mm-hmm. Which is great to hear, which is wonderful. So, and if they're – I think by this game, I think there's going to be fans in the stadium.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be like a full capacity, but I think there's going to be fans in the stadium. And I think that a lot of players on Miami, that loss last year hurt a lot more than some of the other losses. And they are going into this game with like – it's like a bunch of wild animals with food right in front of their – right in front of – and they're just being held – and they're just waiting to be released. And if we can come out and just beat the hell out of these guys, just pressure Howell. If you pressure Howell, like shut down the run game, completely eliminate it, and put pressure on Howell. We do that, we win the game. We just can't allow ourselves to be beat by Sam Howell. Just like last year. Howell got, you know, he was confident after that long touchdown pass in the first quarter. And he, I mean, he played really well against us. I don't think he threw an interception, and he tore us up, threw for over 300 yards, I think it was. Yeah. So this is going to be a very, very big game for our defensive backs and our secondary. But if Phillips and Roche do their thing, we're going to win.
Yeah.
It's this game is Sam Howell against De'Aaron King.
Yeah, and I just pulled up UNC schedule, so they are coming off of a Notre Dame game. Yeah, so that's a gauntlet to end the season.
And we are not going to complain about that one bit.
No, sir.
Okay, so what was your prediction one more time?
48-31.
Hmm.
Yeah,
it's a lot of points.
Yeah, like I said, man, I think we run over 100 plays this game. I think we use the South Florida heat to our advantage, and this is the game that it does the most. You know, because it'll be a 40-degree swing for the Tar Heels coming down to South Florida, and we're just gonna gas them.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, prediction time for Marsh. 34-20 Canes.
Cool. I like it.
I love it, man. I really, really – I feel confident about that pick. I'm ready to go do some push-ups and sprints. I really think – and you and I have talked about this a lot, and we are both in the agreement that we're going to win this game. I think that this is one of the biggest revenge games on our schedule, perhaps the biggest that – and it's the last regular season game. I think it's going to just be a culmination of how far this program has come in a year. Especially if we lose the week prior at Wake Forest. The week prior at Wake Forest. This is going to be a very, very big game. Because you don't want to end the regular season 7-4. I think 8-3. If you can finish the regular season 8-3, there's no reason why you shouldn't feel good.
Yeah. I agree,
and,
man.
And your prediction, we're at 9-2 after this game. And if we're at 9-2, I'll kiss you right on the mouth.
I might let you if we go 9-2.
But this is a huge, huge game. I think that both teams are going to be in the top 25 when these two teams meet. Originally, we were supposed to meet on October 24th. And I really liked that date just because I think that Miami could have been undefeated going into this game, and same with UNC.
Yeah.
And that would have been a very, very big game. By this point in December, you never know how both teams are going to be, you know, leading up to it. But I see UNC having a good year. I think that both teams probably end the year at 8-3.
Okay.
And this is going to be I can already feel it. It's going to be a big game. And even if UNC has struggled, this is the game that fans are going in and say, I want to kill UNC. Like, I want to destroy these guys.
Yeah.
And so I feel a win. I feel it.
Yeah, I think we're going to win, too, for all those reasons. I I think this could hopefully be a cultural turning point.
Yeah. This is going to be a big game because for so many reasons. Just like you said, this is a cultural turning point, and I really like that. Like UNC, you know, Mack Brown, Sam Howell. You know, we got two more years of Sam Howell because he'll probably leave after his junior year. And so this is the team in the Coastal that's going to be competing with us for that Coastal championship for the next few years. And UNC is always dangerous. They always just scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
But in Miami, we definitely play them a lot better in Miami than we do at Chapel Hill. The last time they were in Miami, I think we had like – we had three defensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
Shaq Quarterman recovered a fumble for a touchdown. Jonathan Garvin – no, not Shaq Quarterman. Jonathan Garvin recovered a fumble for a touchdown. Joe Jackson had a pick six, and Romeo Finley had a pick six. And it was – and we were in the black jerseys. I remember going into that game, I was nervous. I was nervous as hell. And our – that was Nicosi Perry's first start, and everything – it seemed like everything worked that day. I don't think it's going to be that big of a blowout this year because Sam Howell is a lot better than the guy they had playing that year. And so I feel good. 34-20. I can see it now.
Yeah.
I can see it now. And so you have them at 9-2. I got them at 8-3. I think we both would be – how would you feel if we were 8-3 at the end of the regular season?
I'd feel good about it. I'd feel like it's a step in the right direction. I don't think I'd be overly hyped, but I would feel like it's progress, and I would feel good about Manny Diaz and Rhett Lashley, and I just feel like it's something very, you know, I'd feel like it was a great season to build off of, and you know, hopefully there would be, you know, enough evidence to make me feel confident in Tyler Van Dyke moving forward or in a Cozy Perry, and that we can build on it and have an even better year the following season.
Yeah. Dude, after that scrimmage, I'm feeling more and more confident about Cozy Perry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of been the hype is, you know, he came out of, what was it like?
Vanguard.
Ocala. Yeah. Vanguard. And they ran a spread system, and you know, everyone's been telling me like, wait till you see him in a spread, he'll be good. And not that I've been saying no, but I've just been saying like, I'm going to wait until I see it because I feel like I know what we have with Cozy. I hope the people are right about that. And I hope he really shows out and that we have a great season with him as a senior.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're 8-3 or 9-2 at the end of the regular season. In your opinion, do we make it to Charlotte?
I don't know, man. I will say, let's see. Does Notre Dame play Virginia Tech? I think we'll be tied with Notre Dame at the very best, and so it would be a tiebreaker scenario. Mm-hmm. And well, yeah, we would because I'm going to have Notre Dame losing to North Carolina and Clemson. And we would play those common opponents, and we would have gone 1-1, and they would have gone 0-2. So that actually puts us in there. You know, if Notre Dame can be a two-loss team and one of them is to North Carolina, that would pretty comfortably put us in the ACC championship game. So yes.
Prior to, you know, the rearranging of the conference, adding Notre Dame and the schedule and everything, I had us winning the Coastal. But now that there's not a Coastal and there's not – like it's just the top two ACC teams go to Charlotte, I don't see us going to the ACC championship game. But again, if we're 8-3, I'm very, very happy. Like – So many Canes fans say, all right, this is year 11-1, 10-2. I'm like, we don't need that. We just need, if we're 8-3 and people are feeling good in Coral Gables and the locker room chemistry is, you know, doing good, people are happy with the coaches, that's the most important thing to me, is a change of culture and a change and a feeling that we are headed in the right direction.
Agreed, man. Agreed. Okay, so that is it for the 2020 season. I got one more thing to go over, and then I think I'm good to go for this episode, man. Mm-hmm. So, one of our best friends of the podcast, our guy Manny, Mr. Honk Dizzle at Twitter. So he wanted us to answer a question for him, and so in regards to the scrimmage, he says, with the freshman wide receivers balling last night, do you guys see all the freshmen getting significant playing time this year? I see two freshmen getting significant playing time this year. And I think it's going to be, I always forget his name. It's the Smith kid out of San Diego.
Keyshawn.
Yep, Deshaun Smith and Xavier Restrepo. Keyshawn.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
So Keyshawn Smith and Xavier Restrepo, I think, will get significant playing time. I think it will be sparse playing time for the rest of the guys.
So when you say significant playing time, what do you mean?
Just like rotation. Like we see those dudes pretty much every game. I think they'll be in the top six on the depth chart. You know, Likens has said that we're going to see six receivers this year. Mm-hmm. And I think those two guys are two of them.
Okay.
So I think when everyone's healthy, you'll see them getting subbed in. I think the other freshmen will need injuries to really get a good look.
Well, especially with, you know, playing six receivers being involved, it's – so we have D. Wiggins, Mark Pope, Jeremiah Payne, and Mike Harley. After that, it's true freshmen. And yeah. So especially with this offense, I think we're going to see if I had to pick, I think Keyshawn Smith gets playing time. Mm-hmm. I think Restrepo but more than anything, I think Michael Redding gets a lot of playing time. He had three catches for 41 yards last night. Mm-hmm. The dude he's the most put together wide receiver of any of the true freshmen we have. I want to say that, like, I don't think any of them will be, like, get significant playing time. But in this offense, when you're, you know, getting so many guys the ball and you're running 80, 85 plays a game, some of the true freshmen are going to be playing. And yep. So, yeah.
Would I be shocked if Redding beats Mark Pope out for a spot? I would not.
Wow.
How about that for a hot take?
Wow.
I could see – I mean – I don't want people to think that I'm a hater on Mark Pope. Kid is supremely talented. I'm just trying to light a fire under him. Because, you know, I wanted him to be so good, man. And I've just maybe it could be the offensive scheme and stuff. But, you know, if there's a spot to – if someone's going to lose a spot and Michael Redden's going to beat him out, I think Mark Pope is the guy that needs to be on watch.
Okay. That's a hot take. That's like,
is that hot? Like, I don't feel like it's very hot.
That's hot. That's a hot take.
Okay. Well, to me, it's not a hot take, but maybe that, you know, everyone else is going to freak out. They're going to be like, did you not see he was a 5-star recruit?
Did you not watch him at Southridge? Who the hell do you think you are?
I know, right?
That's hot. I'd be pretty shocked.
Okay.
I wouldn't be, but the thing is, I wouldn't be mad though, because that just means Redding is balling out. And yeah. I think Redding for some reason is flying under the radar because he had a wrist injury in spring. And so he didn't really participate, but he was an All-American last year. He participated in that game up in Orlando. I think he's going to be a star for the Canes.
Yeah.
I really, really, really like Michael Redding. I think Keyshawn is going to get a lot of playing time just because his speed. And Restrepo is he's just put together.
Yeah.
You know, like we said, last night he took a 70-yard reverse to the house. I think you can put him use him in a plethora of ways. So I think Keyshawn, X, and Redding are going to get playing time. Daz Worsham, don't sleep on him. I think he is going to be a bigger contributor his second season.
Yeah.
But I think you have to feel really good about our young wide receivers.
Yeah.
Like really good. And so, yeah. One more thing I wanted to point out, and we can kind of a preview for the next episode. Oh, and also we got our boy Ryan Roberts, NFL draft expert, coming on Wednesday. So I'm very excited about that. But I have a topic for Mount Marshmore that we can unveil on Wednesday. You ready for it?
I'm ready.
The biggest bros in Canes history.
Okay.
Because the other day, because we're in a little group chat, you, me, and some of the other guys. We were talking about Michael Badgley, and I tweeted out those picks saying that there's only one man that can end the coronavirus and only one hairstyle, and it's Michael Badgley's mullet. And I miss him so much.
Yeah.
Miss Badgley. And we need to have him somehow, some way. We need to have him on this show. So yeah. Brad Kaya, our best friend, Brad, we love you. We miss you. Hook it up with Badge. Please.
That would be amazing.
And Badge, get the mullet back. Bring it back. Like, yeah. You're in Southern California. You need it. You could be a Hall of Famer with that mullet. You can end world hunger with that mullet.
He could. It's a great look.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the aviators and the leather jacket, too.
Yeah. He's just so bro. And I love it because I consider myself to be a bro.
He looks like he could have been, like, the bad guy in an episode of Saved by the Bell or something.
Just the guy with the varsity jacket. Yeah. But it's funny because he's a kicker, too.
Yeah.
I love it. So
yeah, he's the guy at the mall giving Mario Lopez a hard time or something.
Yeah. He would be the guy, and him and Braxton, even though Braxton's like the sweetest guy in the world, but I could see like him, Braxton, and some of the other bros just like giving nerds a swirly or something like that and saying, hey, nerd.
Yeah.
Okay. So get thinking about bros. And to the audience, we want to know who your Mount Marshmore of bros are before we film on Wednesday. And maybe we can ask Ryan, not his biggest bros in Canes, but the biggest bros in football.
Okay.
What do you think?
That'd be good. I think it'd be great, man.
I'm excited. I love this new segment.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Yep. Is there anything else?
No, sir.
All right. Okay. I got 8-3. You got 9-2. I'm excited to hear what some of these people have to say when I predict the Wake Forest loss and the Virginia Tech loss, because I know a lot of people are not, they were not thrilled when I said that we're going to lose to Virginia Tech, and you and I have both said it on the timeline and we have not gotten nice responses. And so, you know what? I don't care. We speak the truth. We speak nothing but the truth.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Wednesday, baby. I'm already excited for it. So until that time, we love you guys. We love the Miami Hurricanes, and we will see you on Wednesday. Go Canes!
Go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to love.